Well, sounds like it's official. My name is Jeff Scott. I am the Transportation Communications Committee Transcom Chair. Welcome, everybody. This is kind of historic and not necessarily for a good reason, but we appreciate everybody's assistance during these crazy times. So, welcome, everybody. And again, if you can keep your device muted, it'll limit feedback and additional conversations in the background until we call for a vote. Again, if you do have a question, just hit it up in the chat box and we have staff and myself that will be monitoring those. The first item on the agenda is a roll call, and we'll go ahead and have Andrea run with that. And so when you do hear your name, if you can just respond briefly, and we'll go from there.
Okay, and just so you know, I can see most of your names, so I will also be writing that down during the meeting. I'm just going to read the members and the alternates that have RSVP'd, and then the other appointments, including non-voting members, for the recording purposes. Commissioner Scott?
Here.
Mayor Shepherd?
Here.
Mayor Gailey?
Here.
Councilmember Cannon? Mayor Dolly?
Here.
Councilmember Granato? Mayor Kemp?
Here.
Mayor Hale?
Here.
Mayor Marshall? Commissioner Tripp?
I'm here.
Mayor Harvey? Mayor Call?
Here.
Mayor Searle? Mayor Dandoy? And I see you, Mayor Searle. We got you counted.
Thank you.
Senator Van Tassel? I know you're here as well. Carlton Christensen?
Here.
Beth Holbrook?
Here.
Kevin Cromar?
Here.
Terry Newell?
Here.
Ben Hewitt? I see Ben as well.
Here.
Laura Hansen?
I'm here.
Ivan Marrero?
Here.
Steve Call?
Here.
Okay. I believe that I, Councilmember Clint Smith.
Yes, here.
Okay, there, that covered everybody on my list. If I did not call your name and you're a member of our committee, please write your name in the chat and I'll make sure and get you recorded in the minutes. Thank you, Commissioner Scott.
Thank you, Andrea. That went much smoother than a couple that I've participated in, so we may ask for your services in some other meetings. So thanks, Andrea. Okay, we will move along. Hopefully everybody has received the minutes in their packet, and I would entertain a motion or if there's any discussion on the minutes.
I'll move to approve the minutes.
Okay, and I will second that. Let's wait for Katie. Okay, all in favor of approving the minutes? Say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, very good. The minutes are approved. We will get Thank you, Katie. Okay, at this time we will ask if there's anybody on here that from the public that would like to make any comment to this group. Okay, hearing no public comment, we will move on to our next item. Before the chair's report, I did want to turn over a little bit of time to Andrew Gruber, and also to Kevin. They've got a little bit of an update on some CMAQ at the federal level and some work that Kevin has been looking into, and we really appreciate him stepping forward on this. This could make a big difference if it goes through. So I'll turn it over to Andrew and Kevin for an update on that.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Chair. I'm going to be brief and turn to Kevin because, as you noted, he's really been the one that's been the driving force behind this consideration. So you all know one of the funding programs that we have the responsibility at WFRC of administering is CMAQ, the Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality Program. We're going to be talking a fair amount about that in the course of this meeting, but it's a federal program. The funding is set for that program by Congress, and the program design is established by a federal law. And the allocations that we receive are based on formulas that are put into place in federal law that are actually quite outdated. As I think you also all know, the federal law that governs not just that program, but the entirety of the federal transportation program is coming up on the need for reauthorization. It expires at the end of the year, and there's a lot of work underway for the overall reauthorization. And that effort provides opportunities to potentially make modifications to programs that are appropriate to modernize them. So with that general backdrop, Kevin, I'll turn to you to talk about your idea on the progress.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. We don't need to bore everyone with the nitty-gritty details, but essentially we set out to do an analysis to see if the allocations that were made under the previous highway bill or the highway bill that we're currently working under, whether it actually reflected air quality impacts across the U.S. And from that analysis, it was clear the answer was no, it did not. And the reason was, like Andrew mentioned, is the allocation equations are badly out of date. And so we've been working with congressional staff on the Transportation Committee, and the representative from Nevada, Titus, Representative Titus, she's been willing to put together an amendment that essentially updates the CMAQ equations to reflect current air quality conditions, current scientific understanding of which pollutants are important, and current population numbers. And we're for Utah, it's a big deal. For Western states in general, it's a big deal. So we get currently about $12, $13 million a year for CMAQ funding. This could jump up 3 to 4 times that every single year if this amendment is approved. So it's important for us. It's important for other Western states. In terms of current updates, the highway bill is still being written by the chairman's committee, DeFazio's committee from Oregon. And Representative Titus has been meeting, their staff has been meeting with the chairman's staff to try to see if this amendment can actually be incorporated in the actual language of the first highway bill. That would be great. We wouldn't have to do an amendment. If that doesn't happen, then Titus will offer it as an amendment and hopefully we can build support for it. But Andrew and his team, they've been pushing on their end, trying to build support for it. I've been building support through national health societies. So we sent in a letter from the American Thoracic Society. The American Lung Association will likely send in a letter soon, trying to build support for this update so we can get these CMAQ dollars to the states that have the largest air quality problems. So that's the update I have for you now. We'll keep you updated as things progress on this.
And Mr. Chair, the only other thing I'll add to that is that this is a potential that proposed legislation has not even been finalized yet. Congressperson Titus, who is the chair of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee Subcommittee on Highways and Transit, so she holds a notable position, has not even officially introduced this legislation. So I'm saying this for purposes of our partners that work on federal issues, UTA, UDOT, and others. This is an idea that is sort of in formation at this point, but it would be meaningful potentially to Utah. So we want to thank Kevin for his activities on this, and we'll circle back as more details become available. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Andrew, Kevin, thank you very much. We'll definitely want to follow up on this. If there's anything that we can do as members of the committee to talk to our contacts in Congress, or maybe, you know, co-sign a letter. That would be certainly something to look at a future meeting. So thank you. If everybody else is like me, you're getting hundreds of emails a week, if not daily, with everybody's COVID update, and 99% of it is negative. I would like to focus on the positive. I got in a little bit and heard about a drive-by Easter egg hunt. I believe it was Mayor Shepherd that mentioned it. I know that there are school teachers that are running around putting signs in their kids' yards to let them know that they're still cared about. We've got one in our yard. My daughter's a senior and she won't have a traditional graduation. So I would just challenge you as you're out and about and working in the areas where you serve to look at some of these things. We've had a business that dropped a pizza lunch off to our sheriff's department, the same thing at our local hospital. We went out a couple weeks ago and just did a donut drop to all of our facilities here in the county to our employees that are absolutely essential and still have to be in county facilities. And so if there's anything that you can do just to lighten the mood and to help out, or, you know, even report some of these stories so that people realize that we are still functioning, we're still alive, and we're going to get through this, I think it's helpful. I like the good news, and I'm tired of the bad. So anyway, let's focus on the good. We'll all get through this, and appreciate everybody and your work. So one thing that we were going to check on, and maybe just an informal poll, maybe you can just put a comment in the chat box. The legislature's in session right now, and there's a lot of talk about tightening the purse strings. And we were wondering how many of you have looked into that at your level, either at the county or in your municipality, about maybe stopping some infrastructure or capital improvement projects. So maybe as an informal poll, if you can just put a comment in the chat, if that's something that you're looking at, that would give us some feedback and kind of know where people are at and what they're doing. Maybe we can learn from each other. One thing that you should know is with WFRC and where the majority of the funding is federal, it really hasn't hampered any of the projects that are going on right now. Things look good at WFRC and everything is still on schedule. And so, you know, we're very fortunate in that regard at this point. So, all right, moving right along, we will move on to agenda item number 4, our TIP, our Transportation Improvement Program. This is a report on board modifications that were done in March at the WFRC meeting. And so we will turn the time over to Ben Withrich, and he'll give us a report on this. If there are any questions, please hit us up in the chat box, and we would have Ben answer those at the end of his report. Thanks.
I'm still muted. Okay, good afternoon, everyone. As was mentioned by the chair, today we have an opportunity as we review and talk about the Transportation Improvement Program. And my program is not sharing here.
Ben, we were able to see your screen.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, we can see your screen now.
Okay, great. See here. Maybe it's just me that can't see. Now, can you still see it?
Yep, we see your screen on the in the list of your files.
Can you see the presentation?
No.
Well, let's go back and try this again. How about now?
Now we got it.
There you go.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, as you're well aware, I have a little affiliation with the Transportation Improvement Program, or as we like to be more familiar with, except the slides aren't advancing. Brother. We'll try this one more time. Actually, we'll keep trying until something happens. We practice this. All right, does it work now? Can you see the tip on your screen?
Yes, we can. You're moving, Ben.
Okay, it's all over. That's all we have for you today then. Thanks for coming. Actually, Noah's the commissioner. For a real quick summary on the Transportation Improvement Program, and we've got to wave the flag of the 2025 tip. We've only got a few months left of this opportunity. So the Transportation Improvement Program, or the 2025 TIP, is a six-year program of highway transit and active transportation projects. It implements the long-range plans and meets the short-range needs of the Wasatch Front. And because of the dynamic nature of project timing and funding, it enables us to have a regular or almost a monthly opportunity to modify or to amend the Transportation Improvement Program. So back in March, let me cover this. And Commissioner, if I'm going out of line or out of step, please let me know here. So today, where my focus is, or what we'll have opportunity to talk about, are three significant things for the TIP. The first one is to report on a board mod that took place on the 26th of March. Then we'll have an opportunity to approve a new board modification. It'll be presented to Transcom, and we'll have then opportunity to review the new projects to be included in draft programs, the STB, CMAC, and the TAP programs, which as I'll be directed by the chair to move forward on as we move. But item 4A, so back on the 26th of March, the Regional Council received a request for a board modification to the 2025 TIP. In your meeting materials, you'll have a copy of the signed resolution, and attached to that resolution will be a table that'll look just like this, that has two projects that were amended in the existing 2025 Transportation Improvement Program. First project was a grit mill project in Salt County. The second project was an intersection in Clinton on 1300 North. This information was presented to the Regional Council and for their review and approval, and they approved that board modification. So this is an information item for Transcom. Are there any questions?
Doesn't look like it, Ben. If there's no questions, I would suggest that we move on to the new modifications that are proposed.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So that would bring us then to the board modification before Transcom today. Again, in your meeting materials is a copy of an unsigned resolution, and attached to that resolution are three projects that are to be amended in the existing Transportation Improvement Program, or the 2025 TIP. The first project is a project located in Salt Lake City. This is 600 North. It's for structures over I-15 and the Union Pacific Railroad Bridge. Currently, these structures have bare decks and are exhibiting cracking and some minor spalling. And there's even exposed reinforcement steel. This project will repair these spalls, apply a polyester concrete overlay across the decks, as well as seal the existing parapets to help preserve the existing decks and slow the infiltration of the water and the chlorides into the deck. This project will be funded with unspent bridge funds from the program years 2016-2020. And it is, as mentioned, a new project to be amended into the existing TIP. The next project is a project located in Sandy. This is a project that was approved by this board a couple of years ago. It's an intersection project on Monroe and 90th South. The purpose of the project is to widen 90th South and Monroe Street to provide dual lefts in each direction. During the design phase of the project, it was determined that the impacts to the Holiday Oil on the corner, the southwest corner of the intersection, would require a full acquisition to accommodate the needed road widening. Also during the right-of-way negotiations, Sandy City and the property owner of the at-home store, which is also there on the southwest corner, they agreed upon a through U-turn or a through turn concept on the south leg of the intersection to minimize the left turn access impacts, as well as the addition of this scope, it'll avoid a condemnation situation, which will save money and time for the project. So Sandy City is requesting to add 2.8 plus million of their funds to this project to address the right-of-way issues on this project. The last project in this board modification is a project in Salt County, actually within the boundaries of Taylorsville. This is on Redwood Road between 4100 South and 5400 South. The intent of this project is to make it look like the section a little further to the south between 5400 South and I-215, which is to improve the access management, the safety improvements, with some minor construction of widening and new construction of the facilities. It'll also improve the lighting all along Redwood Road within Taylorsville City. It'll address the transit that's currently on the north side. It will consolidate all the transit activity to the south side of the community college. And the original project would also construct a new facility on 1780 West from Bruin Boulevard over to 4700 South. This would reduce the traffic impacts to Redwood Road there at Bruin Boulevard. However, as the project's been moving through design or the environmental work, as well as the full understanding of the project, the idea is to remove, it's highlighted there in the blue dotted line, the 1780 West project from this project. So taking that project off, I don't know why it's correcting my slide here, but let me catch up to, here we are moving the transit again, and that's where the new road will be constructed, where the blue line is. The idea is to remove that blue line project from this project to allow the city to build that with their own funds ahead of the other project. The other project is still in the environmental. There's a need for this portion to be completed sooner. So the request is to extract this project, this portion, from the Redwood Road project, build it with their own dime and with no financial impacts to the Redwood Road project. But it is a change of scope to the Redwood Road project. And that would be all of the board modifications that are before Transcom today.
Ben, thank you, especially with the technology on this unique meeting. So thank you very much. I didn't notice any questions come up during the presentation that Ben made. Does anybody have any questions on any of these board modifications?
I would just say the 6 North one is very timely. As someone who travels it frequently and they use it a lot for gravel trucks and oil delivery trucks, and it's just taken its toll. So I'm glad to see that project move forward.
I would echo that. I'm hoping that it is done quickly so that the next time that I come down there for an in-person meeting, I can go over that. It's been a little rocky a few times coming from the north. So, okay, thank you. Any other comments on any of these board modifications? Okay. I would make a motion that we approve the board modifications to the TIP for the 2025 Transportation Improvement Program as outlined by Ben.
Second.
Okay, who was the second again?
Mike Gailey.
Okay, very good. Thank you, sir. We have a motion and a second on the TIP board modifications. We'll go ahead and get unmuted here by Katie. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed to the TIP board modifications? Okay, very good. That motion carries. All right, Ben, let's go ahead. To the surface transportation program.
I'm still perfect. Okay. So this is kind of an exciting opportunity as well as we begin the new process for the 21-26 TIP. Not quite as flashy as the 2025 TIP, but it'll nonetheless be just as awesome. So today we're going to talk about the Surface Transportation Program projects, congestion mitigation air quality projects, and the Transportation Alternative Program, or the TAP projects. And to initiate this conversation, you'll recall that last fall, we initiated the process by sending out a request for letters of intent in the early part of September. Those letters of intent gave us an idea of what projects, potential projects, were going to be submitted in concept reports. Staff was able to do a real high level evaluation of the criteria to make sure projects met criteria. And then they potential project sponsors were recommended as to what type of project concept report or what type of funds they should seek money for or would have the greatest success or chance of success. Those concept reports were due back in the early part of December, and from December through the end of March, staff with many other individuals were going through project reviews and evaluations. Part of the project reviews included on-site review of every project. That opportunity was with personnel from UDOT, with Federal Highways, from UTA, from our office, as well as other personnel from cities that wanted to participate at times. And anyway, all that information, we'll get into that discussion in a minute, was brought to the Transcom tax at the end of March, and they made their recommendations, and that's the information that we're bringing to you today. So backing up, you can see all the dots on this map represent the projects that were submitted in concept reports in the Ogden-Layton urban area, which essentially goes from the North Salt Lake all the way up through Brigham City. Color of dots are identifying the types of funding. So there were 43 projects, concept reports that were submitted with a total project cost estimation of more than $155 million. Of those 43 projects that were requesting funding, there was 119 plus million requesting in STP funds for an available amount of 15.4 plus million. In the CMAQ funds, we had over 6 million requesting against 2.8 plus million available. And in the TAP program, we had 2.7 million plus asking against an amount of 830,000 plus. In the Salt Lake area, again, the dots represent the project concept reports or the projects that were submitted. There were 53 projects, and those 53 projects totaled more than $235 million. Of that amount that was requested in the federal request, 142 plus million was requested against an available amount of 26.4 plus million. In the CMAQ program, we had more than 16.5 million asking against an available 5 million. And in the TAP program, we had 4.7 plus million asking against an available 827,000 plus. So a substantial need along the Wasatch Front against relatively moderate amounts of funding available. Every penny's important, and we're grateful for all of it, but there's a far greater need than there are available funds. Well, that requires us to really dig in and identify good projects. And so we send out concept reports and we request specific information or data that's collected. And from that data, we are able to generate a score. And that means every project is measured with the same measuring stick to give us a score. In addition to this, we have other relevant professional considerations that are considered. So we get a score from the data that we requested, and then there's other professional considerations that are identified to help us identify the project that'll give us the most for our funding. So sometimes this is a little difficult to explain in this kind of a fashion. So we'd like to just maybe perform a little object lesson to help us understand this concept just a little.
Is this going to involve ice cream?
Well, you know, we have the opportunity. Can you see me all right? Am I still looking handsome? Okay. Well, so today we have the opportunities then to talk about when we're each faced with a decision of a project, it's hard to know what project will provide the best benefit. So I have these two items here that I would like to refer to as a project. So in my right hand, I have project A, and in my left hand, I have project B. Now, as they are, either project looks like a worthy project, a project that it will do what its task is designed to do, but it's kind of hard to tell which one is better than another. So that's when we have to involve data. So in this particular case today, we've got some data, and this data is ready today. So as we identify data, which might be as we requested in our concept reports, it might be information concerning safety, or it might be information that would be concerning regional priorities. It might be the amount of sponsors match. Or it could just be what kind of volumes are included on that particular facility. Project B, again, by the concept reports, we're able to identify safety needs. We're also able to identify how many new users this particular project will provide. And there's always those number of passenger trips or, you know, maybe we're looking at the community support on a project. So from our concept reports that we asked that the project sponsors prepare, well, this was the data that we were able to collect. Both project sponsors were responding to the same questions, providing the information that was necessary to provide the data. Well, you know, at this point, either one would be kind of delicious. But if you're like me, project A at this point would be the one I would go after. It just has a little more to offer. However, is that the one that will bring us about the greatest benefit for the amount of resources that we have available? Well, so that's when we start to utilize some of our other relevant professional considerations.
So I mentioned early on that we have a field review. When we go out on a field review and we have personnel from UDOT, UTA, Federal Highways, our office, and other professionals, and while we're out on that field review, we're grilling the project sponsor. We're looking at safety features. We're looking at the real need or the intent of the project. So Project A did pretty good while we were out on that field review. Project B as well did quite well on that field review. And so both projects showed a professional consideration or a benefit from our field reviews. Well, then we have, what about equity of funding? You know, this is kind of tough when we have such a large geographical area. Our funding is quite a bit, but not adequate to meet all of the needs and demands. So we look at one of the criteria is the distribution of funding, the equity. And in this case, Project A happens to be in an area where they've received quite a bit of project funding over the past few years. Project B hasn't. So we're going to add a little equity of funding in Project B. Then we have maybe the sponsor's project history. How has this project been performing, or how are these sponsors performed in the past? Have their projects been on time? Are they able to meet the demands that are placed on them with the federal process? And in this case, I'm happy to report that both the sponsor for Project A has done a wonderful job, and the sponsor for Project B has also done a wonderful job. So both of them bring that benefit to the table. Well, then we have what we would call project synergy. Now, project synergy is something that happens because the project is coming to the table. It might be additional benefits that are coming from not necessarily our project, but it's a synergy that our project brings to the area. Well, you know what? Project A has some synergy. Pretty nice. Well, Project B has a lot of synergy. This happens to be in an area that is really brings some benefit, and it helps us identify that we're getting additional benefits in Project B. Well, then there's also those things like timing efficiencies. Is this project better now if we put it in the queue, or if this project was to come online down the road, which one would be beneficial happening sooner? Well, you know, in this case, I think both of them actually have, time-wise, have done pretty good. And the efficiencies for constructing these projects is right on cue. Well, so that brings us down to other considerations that might be. Which project, or is there one of these two projects that might complete the system or fill the gap? Well, surprisingly, there is. Project B actually will fill the gap or complete the system. So we're going to add just the cherry on top. In fact, it's done such a good job and will bring such a benefit. We're going to add another one right there. So there we are. We've taken the projects, we've identified the data, and then we've reviewed other relevant professional considerations. Now, as we're looking at these projects, which one would bring us the most for the amount of funds that are available? In this particular case, A started off with more data, but after reviewing all of the other considerations, Project B is the one that we will get the most benefit for the amount of funds that we have available. So I'm gonna enjoy a little of Project B here in just a minute.
Thank you, Ben. I think I can speak for everybody saying that we enjoy this presentation, but we enjoy it much more in person. But thank you very much. If anybody has any questions after that presentation, we will have you get with Ben. He can explain it in even more detail, but thanks again. Let's see, are we on to our...
Mr. Chair, can I just, as Ben is finishing taking some bites of Project B, I'd just like to just make a brief comment. First of all, I want to express a little appreciation for Ben. Normally, we get to eat those sundaes. Unfortunately, we're not going to get to do that today, but it's a creative way of helping us understand the all of the detailed analysis that Ben and all of the teams, not just at WFRC, but at UDOT and UTA, the cities and the counties do in evaluating the projects. When we have, you know, 10 to 1 requests of projects for the dollars available, doing a careful analysis of the data and the other relevant professional considerations is so important in allocating these public dollars that we have. And Ben's demonstration helps us understand in a different and delicious way the process for making these important determinations. So thank you very much, Ben, and all the people that are involved.
Thanks, Andrew. I think that's a great segue. We've talked a little bit about that, and a lot of these projects have many, many other features and factors that come into play. And so this is a good way of demonstrating how some of these kind of rise to the top. So Ben, I believe it's up to you and Wayne. Did you want to discuss the actions at this point about the CMAQ process and ways to strengthen that, Wayne?
You'll recall that about a year ago, Transcom asked the WFRC staff form a working group to determine if there were ways to enhance the air quality improvements achieved by the WFRC program that WFRC administers. The working group met twice last summer, and Transcom heard the recommendations that came out of the working group in August and agreed with those recommendations. And so today I just want to briefly review the actions taken in response to those recommendations that Transcom endorsed at their August meeting, this time around in the CMAQ process. And so you'll see those on the screen, the four recommendations. In response to the first one, staff developed and implemented an enhanced outreach plan, which will in reaching a broader audience and increasing awareness of the CMAQ program generally. Going forward, it also resulted in a small increase in the number of project applications. And going forward, our intent is to continue to refine the outreach to encourage submittal of effective CMAQ projects. And we also intend to continue the increased coordination that we started this year with UCARE and the State Division of Air Quality. In response to the second recommendation, we were able to enhance our compilation of benefits in addition to air quality of the projects. And we're sharing relevant information on those non-air quality benefits as we go through the project selection process. So that's facilitating more information being considered during the development of the project recommendations. And going forward, we expect to continue using this enhanced approach for compiling and sharing project additional information on additional project benefits. The third recommendation, in response to that, staff developed and shared with the technical advisory committees last summer revised lengths of effectiveness for each project type so that there was more consistency among each project type as in terms of the length of effectiveness of that project as it was scored during the CMAQ process. And so we incorporated the feedback from the technical advisory committees and updated the forms to include those more consistent lengths of effectiveness. So that increased the consistency evaluation process, and we think that worked well, and so we're intending to continue to have those consistent lengths of effectiveness in the project evaluation forms. I also just briefly want to mention, even though this wasn't an official recommendation, staff continued to their practice of updating the tools that are available as part of the CMAQ project development, program development process. This year, additional forms were provided for first, the early retirement of heavy-duty diesel vehicles, and second, for the marginal cost of alternative fuel upgrades. And so those two additional forms allowed for more the ability within the process to evaluate more project types, and our intent is to continue to refine and improve for the process. And so that concludes an update, and I think would welcome any questions on the CMAQ process.
Thanks, Wayne. Did anybody have any questions about this updated CMAQ process? I really wanted to thank the folks that agreed to serve on that committee to review the way that the CMAQ projects are scored, and to further enhance the types of projects that come to us, and to also thank staff for their outreach. We haven't experienced quite the number of applications that we would like to see on CMAQ. I think that they will continue to increase as we continue to have these town hall meetings, and especially if things go through at the federal level and the amount of funding increases, I think we'll see even more and bigger projects. So thanks again, Wayne.
You bet.
Ben, if you are done with Project B, we will turn some time back over to you to talk about our surface transportation program and the projects that the TAC that they have recommended for this funding.
Perfect. Well, I have to get my thing wanting to work again. I apologize here. Okay, well, we're gonna come back to here. Can you see the screen?
Yes. Yeah, we can see that.
All right. So I thought maybe I would share a little of B there with you. It's quite tasty, actually. So each of you in your meeting materials received the information that was necessary for us to score the project. So the sheets that are included in the materials of the meetings identify the scores that were calculated from the data that was applied. Now, the projects that are highlighted in yellow with a dark blue number to their left-hand side, those are the projects that are recommended. So we're going to go through each of those programs and we'll address each of the projects in a very quick manner so that you're familiar with each of the projects. So in the STP program, there were 10 projects that were recommended in the Ogden-Layton urban area. Those 10 projects totaled more than $15.4 million plus. In the Salt Lake area, there were 14 projects that were recommended, totaling more than $26.4 million. So the very first project, and we'll go in order that they've been identified or highlighted on that on the table that you have in your meeting materials. So the first project in the Weber and Davis County area is a project requesting from UTA. It's the onboard technology system. This is currently on UTA's mobile data computer. It's reached an end of its functional life. UTA has determined that they can develop a new data controlling system that will increase route efficiency and vehicle monitoring and dispatching for much less than a product off the shelf would cost. This project would be $5 million is the estimated project cost, and their federal ask is $200,000. Technical committee recommended the full request at $200,000. The next project is a project request from the Utah or the DOT's Traffic Operations Center. This is for traffic signal priority of preemption for transit, freight, and snowplows. This would run on two routes in the Ogden-Layton urban area. It would run on US 89 from 2nd Street to 40th Street, and on SR 108 or Antelope Drive from 2000 West in Syracuse to Fairfield Road in Layton. This project will expand the connected vehicle technology, which has been proven effective in optimizing transit movement and snowplow operations, and it will further expand the benefits to freight movement. Project estimated cost is $500,000. The funds being requested is $466,000 plus. TAC recommended the full requested amount. The third project is also a project requesting from UTA. It is also a traffic signal priority or preemption. This request is for the necessary equipment for additional buses, thereby enhancing the improvements on the UDOT's expanded technology project. This request is for the estimated cost is $85,000. Funds requested is a little more than $79,000, and the TAC recommended the full $79,000. The next project is a project in Farmington in Davis County. This is on Commerce Drive Road. This is a new construction between Burke Lane and 950 North. This project will construct a five-lane facility, including shoulder, curb, gutter, sidewalk, ADA crossings, bike lanes, and transit stops. Estimated project cost is $8.1 plus million. Funds being requested are $7.5 million. And the TAC is recommending $3 million to help this project move forward and to seed other financial opportunities. The next project is in Plain City. This is on North Plain City Road. This is a phase two. Weber County has come to the table and funded phase one. This will run between 2917 West and 3350 West. This project will widen the facility to add a shoulder, curb, gutter, and sidewalk, a bike lane, and improve the drainage, as well as complete a safe walking route for a new school that is just being constructed. Estimated project cost is $3.98 million plus. Funds being requested is $3.7 million plus. And the TAC recommending $3.5 million. The next project is a project also in Davis County. This is a West Point request on 300 North between 2000 West and 3000 West. This will widen a narrow two-lane facility and include the center turn lane, curb, gutter, and sidewalk, as well as providing additional turning movements at each intersection. The total project cost is $3.3 million. The funds being requested are $2.9 million, and the TAC is recommending the full requested amount. The next project is in Weber County. This is a Hooper City project on 5500 West. The limits would run from 5500 South or SR 97 up to the Weber Davis County line. This project will widen also a two-lane facility with a uniform three-lane road with shoulder bike lanes, curb gutter, and sidewalk. Estimated project cost is $2.4 plus million. The funds being requested is $1.8 plus million, and the TAC recommended the full requested amount. The next project is in Weber County also. This is a Roy City project. This is on 4800 South, and it is to improve widening and pedestrian access there at where the canal, Lincoln Canal, is on 4800 South. The objective of the project is to widen 4800 South with extending the box culvert. This will allow construction of a shoulder, bike lanes, and a sidewalk over the canal. Estimated project cost is $471,000+. I needed to update this slide. I forgot to. The federal funds requested is $439,000, and that was the amount that was recommended by the TAC. I apologize. My slide is showing previous info before we had opportunity to talk with project sponsors and get more details on the project. The next project is in Davis County. This is a project in North Salt Lake. This is to construct sidewalk on Main Street between the overpass on I-15 to Pacific Avenue. Now, currently there are no pedestrian facilities in this location, which is located near a developing town center, a residential neighborhood, which is considered a vulnerable community, and there's a bus route. The project will construct the sidewalk to eliminate the pedestrians in the roadway. Estimated project cost is $366,000+. Funds being requested were $274,000+, and the TAC recommended the full requested amount of $274,000+. The final STP project in the Ogden-Layton urban area is a project in Weber County. This is far west. This was on widening the 4000 North roadway project between SR 126 or 1900 West and 2800 West. This project will widen a narrow two-lane facility to include a center turn lane, shoulders, bike lane, curb gutter, and sidewalk. Also on this particular project, UDOT is improving the intersection on SR 126 or 1900 West and 4000 North. Moving into the Salt Lake area, the first project that we have a request from is an intersection improvement in Cottonwood Heights. This is on Bengal Boulevard and Highland Drive. This project will improve the intersection by adding the second left turn lane on westbound Bengal Boulevard and widening south the south side of Bengal Boulevard right away to accommodate the merging traffic from Highland Drive. It'll also install bypass bike lanes at the intersection to connect with the bike lanes on Highland Drive and the bike lanes on Bengal Boulevard. This project is estimated at $1.6+ million. The funds being requested are $1.5+ million, and the TAC recommended the full requested amount. The next project is a UTA ask in the Salt Lake urban area. This is for the onboard technology system, as we mentioned or talked about in the Ogden-Layton area. This is because of the current mobile data computer has reached its end. This is for UTA to develop a new data controlling system. As mentioned before, the estimated cost is $5 million, and they are asking $500,000 from the Salt Lake urban area, and the TAC recommended the full $500,000 ask. The next project is a request from the UDOT TOC. This is similar also to the project requested in the Ogden-Layton area. For that area, this is for the Salt Lake West Valley urban area. For the traffic signal prioritization or preemption for transit freight and snow plows, this will be on three routes, 5600 West from Amelia Earhart to 3500 South, 123rd South from Bangor Highway to 400 South, and then on U-111 or Bacchus Highway from SR-201 to the new Bingham Highway. As explained earlier, this project will expand the connected vehicle technology, which has proven effective in optimizing transit movement, the snowplow operations, and further expand the benefits for freight movement. Estimated project cost is $690,000. The federal ask is for $643,000+, and the TAC recommended the full requested amount. The next project, like in the Ogden-Layton area, is the same project request from UTA so that they can purchase additional equipment for additional buses to enhance the improvements on those three routes and dovetail into the UDOT project of traffic signal preemption. The federal estimate, or the cost estimation, is $225,000. The ask was $237,000 plus, and ATTAC recommended the full $237,000 plus. The next project is in South Salt Lake. This is in in Salt Lake County in South Salt Lake on 700 West. This is a widening reconstruction project between Carlisle Street and 3900 South. This is actually phase two of a larger project to give us full benefits from 33rd to 39th. This project will replace the failing asphalt pavement with concrete pavement and upgrade pedestrian and drainage facilities by filling in sidewalk, curb, and gutter where it's missing, by adding bike lanes and adding a dual left turn lanes from southbound 7th South to eastbound 3900 South. This project estimated cost is $4.9 million. Federal request was $4.6 million. In discussion with the city, they were comfortable with the recommended amount of $4.2 million, being able to dove this project with the other one and making it happen for less money. The next project is in Mill Creek. This is on 9th East. This is a safety with minor widening and reconstruction between 39 South and 4500 South. This project will reconstruct with minor widening to include safety improvements and construct curb gutter and sidewalk ADA ramps, a bicycle facility, and lighting installation. Estimated project cost is a little more than $7 million. This request is for $2.5 million, and then ATTAC recommended the full requested amount. The next project is in Salt Lake County, the city of South Jordan. This is a traffic signal on 1300 West and White Peach Drive. The purpose of this project is to increase the safety of the uncontrolled mid-block school crossing on 1300 West by installing a signal. The signal would provide traffic control on 1300 West and Peach Drive, which is the only access for the elementary school and this neighborhood. Currently, all the vehicle traffic accessing the area is controlled by a single stop sign on White Peach Drive on a T intersection. So some significant safety concerns. This project estimated cost is $460,000. The request is for $429,000 plus, and the TAC recommended the full requested amount. The next project is in Draper City. This is on Fort Street between Pioneer Road and 13200 South. This is a reconstruct with minor widening to create a uniform cross section with two lanes of traffic, shoulders, bike lanes, curb gutter, park strips, and sidewalks. This will improve the drainage and provide safer travel for pedestrians as well as vehicles. The estimated cost is $4.4 million. The requested amount is $3.7 million. And in discussion with the project sponsor, after the TAC recommended a $3.2 million, and the city's comfortable and able to make this project move forward. The next project is a project in West Valley. This is a project on 3650 South, from 2700 West to 3200 West. As you're well aware, 3650 is a well-used, inadequate old road. This project will reconstruct and widen the facility to include turning improvements, shoulders, bike lanes, curb gutter, and sidewalk. The estimated project cost is $5.8 million. Funds being requested was $5.4 million, and the funds that were recommended by the TAC were $2.5 million. In discussion with West Valley City, they were content and happy for these funds and will find the additional needed funds to make this project happen. The next project is a project in West Jordan. This is on 90th South. This is a new construction project from New Bingen Highway to SR 111. The project will construct a new five-lane facility with center turn lane, shoulders, curb gutter, park strips, and sidewalks. Estimated project cost is $15+ million. The city is requesting $3 million to initiate the funding or seeding the pot to enable them to go after other funds. The TAC recommended the full requested amount of $3 million. The next project is in Salt Lake City. This is Salt Lake West Intermodal down on North Temple, somewhere between 9th West and Redwood Road. This project will construct a multimodal facility in the area of Redwood Road, North Temple, to facilitate the connections between bus routes and the Tracks Green Line and the intermodal slash bus hub for the bus drivers or commuters, allowing for some facilities that are necessary. The project estimated cost is $3.9+ million. Last year, this body approved $1.4 million, so the TAC recommended the remaining amount of $2.27 million to make this project whole to move forward. The next project is a request from UDOT in Taylorsville. This is on Redwood Road. This is to widen Redwood Road between 6200 South and I-215. It's to add an additional northbound lane on Redwood Road. It'll include option entrances lanes for both the eastbound and the westbound on-ramps, and will also complete the CFI features on the east and south legs of the intersection of 6200 South. The project estimated cost is $9.8+ million. The department was asking for $1 million, and the TAC recommended the full $1 million ask. The next project is in Salt Lake County. This is on 8000 West. This is to widen and reconstruct between SR 201 and 3100 South. The project will widen and reconstruct to include a uniform cross section with the center turn lane, curb, gutter, and sidewalk. This project is also intended to be part of a previously awarded by this body, was a sidewalk project on 8000 West. We would dovetail those projects together. Estimated project cost on this is $2.6+ million. Funds being requested were $2.4+ million, and the TAC recommended the full requested amount. The last project in the Salt Lake area for the SDP program is in Mill Creek. This is on 3800 South, up by Skyline High School, between Virgin Way and Birch Drive. This particular facility fails during the peak hours due to heavy traffic from the school as well. And because of the close proximity to I-215, the traffic causes the eastbound congestion at I-215 northbound and 3800 South on-ramp. This project will convert Birch Drive there at 3800 South to a three-quarter access. It'll restrict the northbound left turn movement, and it'll add a roundabout at the Virgin Way there on 3800 South. This project is estimated at a little over $2 million. The request was for $1.8+ million, and the TAC recommended the full requested amount at $1.8 million. This would be all of the projects that were recommended in the STP funds from the technical advisory committees.
Ben, take a breath, and then we have a couple of questions for you.
Wonderful.
Thank you. That's a lot of projects. I just wanted to express my appreciation for the technical advisory committees. They do a lot of work in both of the areas, in the Salt Lake metro area, and then in the north Weber Davis, Box Elder County area, and vetting these projects and scoring them. So thanks again. We did have a question from Mayor Gailey. Should the signal synchronization along Antelope begin further west with the construction of the WDC?
That's an excellent question. Actually, what will happen is as those improvements are implemented, all of that will be reevaluated. UDOT's Traffic and Safety Department, they're always on top of things, trying to optimize the resources that are currently existing on projects. And so, yes, all of that will be dovetailed in together once the project is identified as a real project all of those things will be taken into consideration and reviewed.
Okay, thank you. I had one question on project number four. I believe it was the optimization of the bus technology. It looked like the amount that was approved or recommended by the ATTAC was $237,736, but the estimated cost of the project was $225,000. And so I was just wondering if there was a reason. It looks like more was actually approved than the cost that was anticipated.
Yes, I apologize. This was another one that, as we had open discussions with the project sponsors, we had updated information, and I did not go back and update that prior information there. Okay. I apologize on that.
So it looks like it was maybe a 4 or 5% increase, and the TAC recommended the full amount be appropriated.
Correct.
Okay.
And then the full project cost there would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $239,000 plus.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Okay. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This is Wayne. If I may, just one quick note. For Tooele and Morgan counties, I'd like to point out that there are federal funds administered by UDOT in addition to the state funds that UDOT administers. That are available for application or a pursuit of funding for Tooele and Morgan counties.
No, thank you for the clarification on that. I appreciate that. So thank you, Wayne. If there are no other questions, did anything else come in? Okay. All right. If there are no other questions, I would make a motion that we approve the recommendations from the technical advisory committees on the new projects that would receive the STP funding.
Okay.
I believe that was Carlton that seconded that. We'll go ahead and wait just a half a second for Katie to unmute everybody, but all in favor of approval?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? All right, very good. Okay, let's see. Ben, have you? Okay. Ben, are you there? Are you ready for CMAQ at this point?
I am.
All right.
Yes. Thanks. Thank you. So in the Congestion Mitigation Air Quality Program, we had three projects that were programmed in the Ogden-Layton area totaling 2.9 plus million. And we had three projects that were recommended in the Salt Lake West Valley urban area totaling 4.9 plus million. And moving into those projects, we have the first project is an Ogden City UTA request. This is for the Ogden Weber WSU BRT operation support. As you're aware, this BRT facility will go from the Ogden City Intermodal up through Weber State University, and currently the design is up through to McKay Hospital. This request is for the operation support of the new system. For a period of 3 years, that's about $410,000 plus per year. The project will promote active transportation and increase access to opportunities. The estimated project cost is 1.2 plus million. The funds being requested is 1.1 plus million, and the TAC recommended the full requested amount. The next project is also a request from UTA. This is an on-route electric bus charging infrastructure. This would be the first in the Ogden-Layton urban area. This would fund a charger at the Ogden Intermodal Center to extend the range of service for the all-day operation of the electric vehicles. This actually will initiate the phase of converting to an electric bus fleet. To construct this is estimated at $1.5 million. Funds being requested is $1.39 plus million, and the TAC recommended the full requested amount. The last CMAQ project in the Ogden-Layton area is a request from Ogden City, and this is to expand their green bike program, which is just starting here in the near future. It'll expand the green bike program. With the benefits of this program, we'll have first and last mile that are currently concerns. It'll help enhance the Ogden Transit service. It'll promote the active transportation while supporting economic activity in the central business district of the city. A bike share program will also promote physical activities while offering a zero emission transportation option to visitors and the residents. The estimated cost is $435,000 plus for this expansion. The request was for $405,000 plus, and the TAC recommended the full requested amount. And that is all of the CMAQ projects in the Ogden-Layton area. In the Salt Lake area, the first project is an intersection project in Sandy City. This is on 450 West. It's a through turn. As you're aware, the westbound traffic on 90th South is very congested, a lot of traffic in this particular area. This will construct a through U-turn for 90th South on 450 West over Parkland Drive. This is a capital improvement which will generate long-term benefits to the traffic operations, taking full advantage of our responsibility for traffic management systems. With the reduction of congestion comes improved safety. With the reduction of congestion comes improved mobility, and this will also increase access to opportunities. The project estimated cost is $2.1 plus million. The funds being requested are $1.9 plus million, and the TAC recommended the full requested amount. The next project is a request from UTA. This is for the electric bus charging infrastructure. This is to enhance those system that has begun to be constructed in the Salt Lake area. It would fund a charger at two key locations in the Salt Lake Valley to extend the range of service for an all-day operation of an electric vehicle. Like in the Ogden-Layton area, this is initial phases of converting to an electric bus fleet. Estimated project cost is $3 million. Funds being requested is $2.7 plus million, and the TAC recommended $2.5 plus million. The last project that was recommended in the CMAQ program was a project request from UDOT Magna in West Valley. This is on the 3500 South facility. This is to construct sidewalk between 5600 West and 8400 West, a little more than 3 miles. There are a couple of spots where a sidewalk will be reconstructed to address the pedestrian ADA ramps, but otherwise it'll construct the missing sidewalk along that whole route. It'll enhance access to the transit service. It'll improve safety along one of the primary roads serving West Valley and Magna, and it'll increase access to opportunities. The project is estimated to be more than $2 million. The funds being requested from UDOT and these jurisdictions is $500,000. The TAC recommended the full $500,000. That one would conclude all of the CMAQ projects that were recommended by the Technical Advisory Committee.
Okay, thank you, Ben. I didn't notice any questions coming up in the chat during the CMAQ projects that were recommended. If there are no questions on in these projects that are recommended, I would make a motion that we approve those projects as outlined for.
Which zone? So I had Shay look and see if he could do it. Oh, I thought so. Motion. Actually,
Mark Shepard, second.
Thank you, Mayor. All in favor of approving the these projects for CMAQ funding, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, thank you. All right, Ben, one more.
Okay.
Ready to shift to the transportation alternatives?
Wonderful, thank you. Recommended in the Ogden-Layton urban area, totaling more than $875,000. And there were three projects recommended in the Salt Lake West Valley for the $827,000. You'll notice that the Ogden-Layton is slightly above what was available, but this is, as we look at projects that are wrapping up, there was not a concern for this at this time. The first project that we would look at is a project in Riverdale. This is on 1050 West. It runs under I-84. What it is to construct bike lanes and pedestrian facilities under I-84 all the way to 1050 West, or to the intersection there. The estimated project cost is a little more than $500,000. The funds being requested are $480,000, and the TAC recommended the full $480,000. The next project that was requested in the Ogden-Layton area is a project in Layton. This is on the Case Creek Trail. As you're aware, there is construction that will be taking place on US 89, and there are funds that will construct an underpass under US 89. These funds, or this request, is to build the trail from that overpass and connect it into the existing trail. So it would construct a 10-foot wide asphalt trail and connect the underpass to the Case Creek Regional Trail on both sides of 89. Estimated project cost is $790,000. The request is for $395,000, and the TAC recommended the full requested amount. Moving into the Salt Lake area, we have three projects. The first one is a request from the Magna Metro Township. This is for construction on 2820 South for a safe routes to school project between 7563 West to 7440 West. The project will construct sidewalk, curb, and gutter on the north side of 2820 South between the existing sidewalks at 7440 West and starting again at 7563 West. Sidewalk will improve safety of access for the students walking to and from school, as well as a proposed trail that is being worked on at this time. Estimated cost is $224,000 plus. Funds being requested were $209,000 plus, and the TAC recommended $204,706. The next project is a request in Salt Lake City. This is the Kensington East-West Byway between West Temple and 6th East. This is a capital improvement project. The project will enhance East-West bike and ped use for all ages and all abilities on low-volume local streets parallel to the busy streets or busy arterials. It'll improve connectivity and improve crossings on larger facilities. Estimated cost is $538,000. The requested federal funds is $502,000, and the TAC recommended $300,000. The last project in the Salt Lake area is a request from Salt Lake County. This is on 8425 South. This is also a safe routes to school project between 1300 East and 1475 East. This will construct sidewalk, curb, and gutter on the north side of 8425 South. The sidewalk will improve the safe walking area for students going to and from school. Estimated cost is $369,000. Federal funds being requested is $322,000, and the TAC recommended the $322,000 plus. This would complete all of the requests for the TAP funds from the TAC committee.
Thanks again, Ben. Really appreciate your work. That's a lot of projects for one meeting, and appreciate that again. I did not see any questions regarding the recommended programs from the Technical Advisory Committee. Are there any questions regarding these? Okay, if not, I would make a motion that we approve the Transportation Alternatives programs as they were outlined by the Technical Advisory Committees.
I'll second that.
Second from Robert?
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Very good. Thanks again to all the folks on the Technical Advisory Committees and staff for doing that. Andrew had a great idea and wanted to follow up with that briefly. We wanted to get a brief update on where UDOT and UTA are standing right now with all
not the really good. From COVID.
Take a moment, and then if we could have Terry give us an update on UDOT, that would be great. Thank you.
Maybe I misunderstood. Were you asking me to go first or Terry? I couldn't hear you in some of that, so I just wanted to double check.
I will leave that completely up to you guys. You can fight over who goes first.
Okay, good deal. Terry, why don't you go ahead?
Is Terry on?
Oh, there she is. Ahead, yeah, sorry about that. I was trying to unmute and get my video up as well. So just kind of the quick version about what's going on at UDOT. We have had an emergency operations team up and running, meeting daily for about the last 4 weeks or so. And that we're trying to direct all of our actions we take through that group just to make sure we have consistency throughout our department. At this point, we've got about 700 people that are teleworking. The remainder of our organization that is still, I'll say, at the office or in the field, we are now requiring them to social distance. And we are, if they can't meet the 6 feet minimum requirement, then we're asking them or we're requiring them to wear masks. And that's really following the instruction of the CDC. So trying to make sure that we're keeping our employees safe. And I think the probably the difficult part of it that everybody is dealing with is trying to keep employees safe, but keep the business running at the same time. And as everyone knows, transportation projects are important to the economy. And so again, a balancing act of continuing to try to deliver projects, as well as trying to be conscious of budgets that are likely to be down as we go forward with gas tax and sales tax potentially being down. We are going to have some reacting we likely need to do at the finish of special session or probably multiple special sessions. So I guess more to come on that later, but we're trying to do, I guess, what everybody else is trying to do, keep our employees safe, try to do as much business as we can and try to deal with budget shortfalls. And I don't have any magic answers on our end, as if anybody else has some, we're glad to hear them. So thanks.
So for UTA, you probably no surprise to anyone, we've had significant ridership declines as a result of the COVID-19 crisis. And we've been actually meeting daily as well with our operations teams. We have a lot of our administrative office is telecommuting, but the majority of our workforce actually is operating daily and is required to come into work, which is of course operating our all of our vehicles. We did a change to our service. We reduced service on April 5th. And basically, I'll just give you a rough analysis and I can get you more details later. But we basically took service that was 15 minutes and bumped it up to every 30 minutes. And every 30-minute service, we bumped it up to an hour. We've been doing this since April 5th. We've made some changes because we've been noticing crowds, actually, if you will, on our buses. And so we are adding more frequency to some of our key routes. Second, the bus 200, which goes up to the University of Utah, 33rd South. Those are actually having, we're going back to more frequency on those, but for the majority of our services, we've cut the, we haven't cut the service, but we've cut the frequency on most everything. We have, we are gonna be recipients of some federal funding from the CARES Act. I'm sure you guys have heard about that as well. And we're hoping to mitigate what we anticipate will be some significant budget issues, not only in the near future, but also we're looking, you know, possibly 2 to 3 years out. We're not obviously sure, and we haven't been successful in consulting our crystal ball either. So we're trying to be as communicative as possible, and we do daily updates on our website, which is therideuta.com/health, and that will give you all of the information, and all of our transit apps have everything updated as well.
Very good. Chair,
can I just offer a brief, real brief supplement, a little info to that? I know we're short on time, but as Beth noted, that fortunately there has been federal funding to help with transit operations. There has not been any federal funding as of yet for the road and transportation projects on the DOT or local side, although there have been requests made for possible funding from the federal government to offset lost revenues for transportation agencies other than transit agencies. And that's one of the items that's in discussion in Washington for, you know, a possible follow-up to the CARES Act. I wouldn't go into the details about what's happening or not happening with regard to funding for local governments and revenue replacement. I know that you're all tracking that very closely, and the League of Cities and Towns and Association of Counties are doing a really terrific job in working on that actively and sharing information. You all know that today the special session started, and one of the things that the legislature is doing is moving to pass a resolution that is urging all government entities in Utah to at least hold their spending levels projected for next year consistent with this year, and are effectively warning that that is what they're anticipating will happen on state funding as well. Again, as you know, nobody has a crystal ball, and if we could hold to next year to this year's funding levels, I might say that that would be a good outcome. We're going to have to wait and see how that goes, but you know, working together at the local, state, and federal level to work our way through the budget challenges that come with this situation.
Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate that. We will lean on the staff at WFRC to let us know if there's anything in the special session that impacts transportation, and we'll keep our eyes on it as well. Last parting shot. Some of you may be having a serious craving for ice cream at this point. Rumor has it that we might have ice cream at a future meeting. In the meantime, go out and support your local economy. I guarantee every one of us has a favorite ice cream shop in the neighborhood. Take the family, stay in your vehicle, get some ice cream, or just send a designated driver. But you know, working through this, we'll all be okay on the back end. But if we can support our local businesses, it means a lot. They're the backbones of the community, and they support everything during the good times, and it's our turn now. So thank you. I would entertain one more motion if anybody would care to make it.
Move to adjourn.
So moved. Thanks, everybody. Stay safe, and we'll see you at the next meeting.
Thanks.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, all.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thanks, guys.
Andrea, well done. You are awesome.
Well, that was quite stressful, but thank you.
You do.